This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Anthony Richardson, Jonathan Taylor, and we got Jelani Woods, all things Colts with Lara Overton, reporter for the Colts. And I want to start with Anthony Richardson. You did a big feature piece on him getting to interview the hopefully superstar, certainly someone on that trajectory going into year two here. What a roller coaster ride for him being a top five pick. And then you see the dynamic moments, but only 4 games played. A couple of those were partials as well. What was kind of your theme in talking to him about year one for now the dramatic, hopeful sophomore rising player there, Phoenix, for the offense there?
I think the theme was motivation, having still that continued chip on the shoulder, and even more so, having an opportunity to show, although it was a small sample size, what he's capable of, the dynamic playmaking ability, and also what he can do with a Shane Steichen offense with the weapons that are around him too. There were, of course, so many critiques of his time at Florida. Didn't start a ton of games, inconsistent play, different things that there were. Everyone saw the great athleticism. And so Anthony was eager for the opportunity to put that on display, not just for himself, but be an asset for this team and be the franchise quarterback that this organization has been seeking since the retirement of Andrew Luck. And to have the injury shortened rookie season, that was further motivated by seeing the success of some of the other rookie quarterbacks in his class as well. Of course, within the AFC South, he and CJ Stroud have an incredible respect and friendship between one another. And it really kind of fueled and burned motivation for Anthony Richardson not being able to play in that game at Lucas Oil Stadium with a playoff berth on the line, you know, against the Houston Texans. He saw what CJ Stroud was able to go out and do. And I think that he sees now, obviously, the potential that there is for himself, for this offense, for a Shane Steichen-led team. And he now also sees how he has to play to make sure he's able to deliver that week in and week out as well.
One thing I can only imagine is that whirlwind of you get drafted late April, and by the time you know it, it's week one, and it really isn't a normal off season. And so for these rookies, especially if they do well, you know, I think that's such a feather in their cap. But talk about, was this a normal off season? If this was a veteran quarterback, a 25, a 30-year-old, would you view this as a normal off season for Anthony Richardson? Was he still dealing with a lot of rehab up until a few weeks ago? What was the process like for him, which was really his first one? Because last year is just, I'm trying to get my life together and get into the NFL. And he ends up being an early season starter as well.
It's so true. And looking back to where he would have been, say, a year ago, or, you know, that early part of 2023 for Anthony Richardson, you come out of college, you're immediately preparing for the combine and all of the assessment there. And he rated so well, performed so well at the combine. Then you go through the entire pre-draft process, all of the interviews that are going on, the pro day that you're participated in, you've got the medical stuff going on where people are evaluating you left and right. You're doing interviews, you're doing on-field assessments, all of those things. You get drafted, you come into a building, you're trying to learn the playbook, especially when you know you're competing for a starting job. You're getting to know your teammates. And you think about too, when Anthony came into the building in 2023, he wasn't able to get on the field with Jonathan Taylor at that point. There were a lot of his receivers who were coming off of injury. They were doing some rehab. Michael Pittman was limited during that period, as was Alec Pierce, as was fellow draft pick Josh Downs. So he had very little time last offseason with any of his, you know, weapons, you know, because you're lumping Jonathan Taylor into that. It's not just receivers. It's, you know, the tight end group as well. There was no Jelani Woods at that point. He had the hamstring injury. So between wide receivers, tight ends, running backs, certainly, you know, a bit of a limited rotation in that personnel that he was working with last spring. Then you get to camp and he's thrust right into it, preseason, all of those things. I do think that it was closer to having some normalcy maybe this offseason to what you would expect. Wasn't able to really go full force until he was throwing, you know, in a very consistent routine, maybe closer to March was maybe where, you know, he's throwing in February and those things. Really started to see when they were posting some videos, really getting into things and ramping up what he was doing in March. So with continuing the rehab, I think that you're certainly, like, there are no restrictions from what we've seen of Anthony Richardson through, you know, the OTA period, the mini camp period, all of that. But, you know, what we are seeing is being cautious to the degree, as you should be with a quarterback who's coming off of the type of procedure that he had. So we saw Anthony go 2 days of the veteran mini camp, and then they held him out of the final day of that practice on Thursday, right before the team broke for a few weeks leading into training camp. And Shane Steichen was quick to really squash any concerns over that and said he's dealing with some shoulder soreness. If this were a game week and it was a Sunday, he'd be playing. Nothing that would keep him out. So I do think that that's a pretty good insight as to the approach that the Colts will take with this, because although Anthony had been really consistently throwing to receivers and working with guys leading up to that June period, especially in the month of May, I felt like you really saw them get into a strong cadence. But, you know, so much of that period of, you know, the voluntary workouts and OTAs, they're not full speed type of sessions. So for Anthony to come in, have those first 2 days where he looked really good, certainly the velocity in his arm is there. And you're seeing, you know, footwork certainly, you know, improving. Those are some things that he really looked to as he was using this time away from football. Accuracy, footwork, all of those different things. And he felt too, one thing he expressed was the comprehension of the playbook was also stronger. And that's something that he was able to use that time. If there's any, you know, you never want to say that there is a benefit to missing time on the field, but I think that if Anthony, and he comes from such a mature standpoint, and one of the ways he used that to find somewhat of a silver lining, I would say, is how can I continue to improve and learn and further grasp comprehension of the playbook, learning behind Gardner Minshew, who has several seasons in a Shane Steichen system, using this type of perspective, standing on the sidelines, seeing what Gardner is doing. Because Gardner, obviously, very different athletes, very different quarterbacks, but has commanding leadership qualities. And I think that was something, too, that was beneficial that Anthony gained immense respect of Gardner in doing, was seeing how he led, especially how he commanded the huddle and those different things. So I think that certainly from the maturity standpoint, the physical standpoint, all of those things, Anthony Richardson has well set himself up to take those anticipated leaps going into that sophomore season.
Yeah, I think the watching and learning, Gardner Minshew being a pro, that was a huge addition. I mean, so many aspects there to say, this is a team, when you get to watch a veteran in general, as a younger quarterback, and I always think back to doing and making mistakes versus I get to see someone like Jordan Love, all pro level, you know, that in there and you'd love to play, but man, getting someone seeing it, doing it correctly, it saves you those reps and mistakes, I think. And Richardson definitely had that. You would love to see him play 17 out of 17, but I think that's a huge aspect, as you mentioned. Another player, as you mentioned, that missed some time, Jonathan Taylor. So he missed some time with the contract situation last year. He's played just 21 games over the past two seasons with injuries as well, but massive year in 2021. Where is he, the state of Jonathan Taylor, the profile now at 25 years old? Is this going to be one where these next two or three years, this is his time to A, stay healthy, B, dynamic like he was two, 3 years ago, be the focal point? And where does he stand on that health chart in terms of revving up for week one?
I felt like when we saw him come in for, you know, the periods in May and in the mini camp in June, it felt like a refreshed, revitalized Jonathan Taylor. He, of course, you know, had the injury, the thumb and everything that we saw toward the end of last season, which somewhat limited his time. He was able to get back before the end of the year, but had all told a pretty healthy offseason. And it felt like that had put Jonathan in as good of a situation going into a spring as we have seen, because there is no conversation about contract. There aren't lingering questions about his health, because the injuries last year, he came back from all of those things that had limited his time and limited his play in the 2023 season. And then also, I think it's really helpful for someone, not just like Jonathan Taylor, but Michael Pittman. They're in an offseason where they don't have to wonder who their quarterback is going to be. I think that is another great reassurance. Certainly, Jonathan Taylor feels good about what his contract situation is, knows he's here for the long haul, knows his draft classmate Michael Pittman is coming back as well. He had his contract extension obviously signed and all of that got done this offseason. But just knowing, I know who my head coach is, I know what this offense looks like, I know who my quarterback is, all of those things are further putting a star player, a guy who was the NFL's leading rusher, in a much better position than what we saw 1 year ago or even 2 years ago. I think all around, Jonathan is one of the best I've ever been around in terms of the way he treats his body and, you know, going through what he calls prehab, you know, and it's a lot of the prevention things, especially because we know with guys at that position, especially one that carries as much of a workload as Jonathan Taylor does, you have to put a premium on doing all the additional things. And Jonathan is certainly one of those who prioritizes not doing all of the big things right, but also doing all of the little things right. I mean, he's talked about, you know, going to Pilates classes, you know, to help strengthen his core, the importance of flexibility with the way that, with the style of his running and all of those things. And the Colts really benefited last year in having a complement to Jonathan Taylor with a Zach Moss. You know, those are two very different types of runners who play different roles in this offense. So I do think that, again, you're going to hopefully see Jonathan Taylor, you know, back to that level in which he is one of the top running backs, top producing running backs in the NFL. I think this offense is well situated for it because of how defenses will have to account for the rushing threat, not only of JT, but also of an Anthony Richardson with that offense. And then you're also going to see, I would imagine, this offense find a complement one way or another. If it's a guy who's currently in that room, they'll evaluate that through training camp of, you know, who are those guys going to be in support of him. You have Trey Sermon in that room. You have Evan Hull, who was a draft pick, you know, last year, who suffered injuries that limited his time, his rookie season. Tyler Goodson is in there. I think it's interesting to see how they're going to structure the complement to Jonathan Taylor. But everything that we have seen over the last few months, I think there are, you know, certainly no questions that Jonathan Taylor comes into 2024 in as good of a position as he's ever been as an Indianapolis Colt.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Now, you alluded to it well and segued that I wanted to ask you about the running back two battle, because this is one where it's weaker than ever before. Zach Moss was found money. He was off the scrap heap last year and provided a lot of good reps. And they had Nyheim Hines for a number of years. But this is a different look. Jonathan Taylor, I always want him to be on the field for every passing down because he's so good in the screen game, the check down game and all that. But this year, they bring in Trey Sermon. And tell me if this is overhyped by some of the reports coming out of early camps. It was Trey Sermon, you know, expect him to be the running back two entering training camp, entering the preseason versus Evan Hall. And I always call Evan Hall one of those, we don't know what we have. He got hurt at one of those nexus points last year where you typically, he might have been a guy that saw work with Jonathan Taylor out those opening games. We just don't know. So going back 12 months, I mean, was Evan Hall on that trajectory? Do you think he's someone that can beat out Trey Sermon? Sermon's been passed around a few different times, so it's a little skeptical for everyone to believe that he's just going to walk in, have the running back two job, win the running back two job, and if Taylor misses time in week four, Sermon's going to get 15 plus touches. Are we on that trajectory, or is Evan Hull someone that's healthy right now and can challenge?
I am very encouraged by what you got from Trey Sermon last season when he was called upon. I believe it was the Steelers game. You could probably go back and check. But he was incredibly valuable in the situations that he got opportunities behind Zach Moss. I thought he proved a lot. And he, because of all of his journey in the NFL, comes in with this perspective of taking nothing for granted. He is so hardworking. You see him out there. He's one of those who I thought was incredibly consistent in the time that we saw him, both in game and on the practice field this past spring. I do think he has a bit of a veteran presence in knowing what to expect. This coaching staff now knows enough to have seen what he brings you and can possibly tailor some things to his game. I do think that Evan Hull is, a little more of a question in terms of the weapon that he can be. One factor in talking about a 53-man roster, too, for the running back room is how much special teams comes into play, the new kickoff rules, how that factors in. The Colts drafted Anthony Gold at wide receiver. He's a very interesting weapon in terms of the return game, but I think that you're going to see over the course of the preseason a lot of creativity in how teams utilize that new kickoff rule and the personnel that they implement and how that evolves over the course of this season. Some teams have talked about, do you use more of a running back, in that type of situation versus, what we've typically seen with it being maybe a receiver or a corner. So I do think that that is something that will come into play with this. I don't necessarily think that that's probably maybe Trey Sermon who's going to line back up there in some return situations. But when you're just talking pure numbers across camps, I think that's something that's very interesting to factor in. I do think that because of experience, because of the reps that Trey Sermon has gotten so far, and because of how well-liked and the respect that he has gained of this coaching staff, I do think Trey goes in to camp as the two, and will be interesting to see the utilization and the rotation with Jonathan Taylor of all the guys who are there with Trey, with Evan Hull, and with Tyler Goodson, who's another, one of those, kind of versatile pieces in the run game.
Player I loved last year was Jelani Woods. I really thought he was coming into his own in terms of a rising player, a potential breakout player for that offense last year. And then it really got thrown under the rug of just a hamstring, a tweak here, and all of a sudden he's not you know, we don't see him the whole year. And what was your observation of that? What was your touch points? Were you able to talk to Jelani, you know, over the last, say, like 9 months-ish? When was he supposed to come back? Was that something where it never quite recovered well enough and they eventually shut him down? Has this been a normal offseason for Jelani Woods, where they had to patch things together as pretty much a tight end by committee? And I don't really think they got as much juice out of that position as they wanted. Maybe Jelani Woods would have been the answer there. So just Jelani Woods' state of the union, and what has this offseason been like for him?
Oh, it was visible all season long, the frustration that he experienced for a young player who showed such promise in his rookie season, you know, a rookie year that was filled with so much adversity, changes at quarterback, changes, you know, at the head coaching position, changes in offensive coordinator, all of those things. So a whirlwind rookie season in which Jelani Wood was able to showcase some of his playmaking ability, and then the injuries start to happen. And he was around. It was something where we knew he was there. We knew he was working. And it was just, you know, setback after setback, and incredibly frustrating for him. But to his credit, stayed locked in, continued to work the entire time. And you saw that, really pay off when he came in and you finally got to see Jelani on the field with Anthony, like we saw during, you know, OTAs and during mini camp. And I mean, he is a big body. He is a threat, especially in the end zone. He's difficult to cover. And when you think about, you know, someone who has the perspective and the vantage point of being, you know, 6'4" plus, like an Anthony Richardson, having another big target downfield when there is such a priority for this offense in the explosive passing game and a necessity for those type of plays. Yeah, you have, you know, Pittman, who is, you know, going to be that guy. Of course, you know, he's wide receiver one, but who are those other, you know, big threats that you have, especially that can kind of, you know, be the bully, so to speak, you know, in those type of situations. So I think that it's really benefited Jelani to get some time this spring with Anthony. Both those guys finally getting healthy. That's a very exciting thing for Shane Steichen, Jim Bob Cooter, and, you know, the entire offensive coaching staff when you're thinking about the dynamic that those two present and the opportunities that there are with a healthy Jelani Woods. He's just got to keep it. You know, whatever they've done, whatever the magic potion concoction has been to get Jelani to this point, okay, now what does it take to stay at that level? Because when you think about the success of, you know, the offenses Shane has been a part of, you do have a bit of that game-breaking tight end element to it. And I think that that's one thing that the Colts have gotten such consistency out of Mo Alie Cox over the last few years, the way that he has evolved, especially as a run blocker. He's incredibly valuable. You know, you have Kylan Granson, who's a bit of a different weapon, doesn't quite have, you know, the size of Drew Ogletree, Jelani Woods, and Mo Alie Cox, but really good receiver, comes from that wide receiver type of background, willingness to do it all. The emergence of Will Mallory, who was a rookie last season, a later round draft pick, you know, comes from that football family, you know, school of football coaches, both at the college and the NFL level. It's a very interesting battle in that room, but I think that the big question is just what can Jelani do when healthy, and can he stay healthy and get there? And you really saw when he's been on the field, just this joy and in his ability to be back on the field, be with his teammates, make plays, make catches, make big catches. Like there were a few of them, those kind of like, you know, you double check to see like, what did I just saw? Like you kind of bring your jaw off the floor. Now, of course, it's practice and it's June and it's all of those things. It's a heck of a lot different than what it looks like in September. But right now, Jelani Woods is showing all those flashes that you saw in his rookie season. You just need it to be consistent flashes, you know, and not just, you know, those sporadic lightning bolts.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, I'm really excited about their 2-3 tight end packages. You know, if they go big, they go jumbo, essentially, and you get Richardson maybe on some design quarterback runs. All the things that they could do in the red zone with play action. I mean, they have a lot of flexibility now if Jelani Woods is back there atop that depth chart. Last question for me, and thank you so much for your time and talents, as always. Adonai Mitchell, one that was coming in, high variance in terms of a prospect, a lot of, you know, is this guy going to be able to focus? Is this going to be something that, you know, what can he provide? Obviously the upside, the talent, the high end of best case scenario was off the charts, around one projected guy. So now that you've had him in here for a month or two, you've gotten to see him through some of these early camps. They really, I mean, they have not gotten what they wanted probably out of Alec Pierce. He's had to deal with a lot of contested situations. He hasn't come down with many of those. So that wide receiver two spot on the outside, that's going to be one that is A.D. Mitchell going to be one that actually takes the top off and provides that element. And that's frankly one of the only things missing from this offense if it's running at full strength.
So impressed with A.D. and what he has brought. He's so fun. Like, he is a great teammate. He's so fun to have on the field. It's good to hear he's one of those who is always in conversation, always talking, brings a great element that Colts fans are going to see in training camp. One thing that's interesting, I think that this will be a huge camp for Alec Pierce, because when we saw the combination of Anthony and Alec last year early on, it was clicking. Things were working really well between those two. I think that it will be, and you saw, I mean, think about back to the Tennessee Titans game, what Alec was able to do late in that game, what he was able to put on display. I think that Alec Pierce will be one of the greatest beneficiaries of purely having consistent play at quarterback. And I think that certainly A.D. Mitchell will too. Mitchell he's a big threat in terms of just that presence on the field. That's one of the things I think that caught me by surprise is, I saw a lot of the highlight tape and everything from Georgia, from Texas. And then he walks in and like the stature just impresses you. Like when you see him, he is one of those who you kind of feel his presence when he's around, maybe even before you see him. And when you look at his tape, you know, from national championship games, from big games at Texas, all that, what you think about with AD is that home run hit ability, you know, that guy who you are going to be able to go to in touchdown situations. I do think that you probably go into camp with Pierce being more in that two position because of maybe some of the consistency that he gives you in various situations. But AD Mitchell is going to be your home run hitter with what we have seen in how they're structuring a bit of this offense. There's going to be a lot of competition, certainly in that room, but I think it's really healthy competition because of the strengths and the skill set of the guys that you have in a room that's led by Reggie Wayne. I mean, think about that as well. You have, of course, you have Pitt, you have Alec Pierce, you have Josh Downs, A.D. Mitchell, you have Ashton Doolin, that's coming off a devastating injury last year. And he has been one of those very, you know, consistent hard work. I mean, kind of do it all guys within the offense these last few years, you know, under both Frank Reich and with Shane Steichen. It's a great room. And I think that this is, to me, that one of the best rooms that has been assembled in recent memory for the Indianapolis Colts. And I think that you're going to see a huge benefit. I don't know that anyone saw Josh Downs having the type of impact in 2023 that he did with Gardner Minshew. That's incredibly exciting with what he was able to do. He is going to take it to another level. I mean, because it's usually one of those positions too. So excited for AD, but you think about wide receiver is typically one in which it's a bigger leap for a rookie to go from, you know, college to the NFL. And maybe we took that a little bit for granted with Josh Downs. You know, he gave us a lot more than what I think people were expecting from him. And he's going to continue to do that. And I think what they will do is I think they'll be intentional with how they implement A.D. Mitchell within this offense. Something I love about having Michael Pittman back in the position that he is, he's a wide receiver one, but not necessarily a greedy wide receiver one. He's has that willingness to do it all within the offense. He's so happy for the guys around when they get their touches. Yeah, he wants to lead the pack, you know, no doubt, but he also, you know, understands the way that this offense will work and the way that you're going to have to, you know, work the ball around because of probably how they're going to try to, you know, cover Michael Pittman with the type of, you know, catches he was able to make. When you think about, my gosh, like, the Titans or the Ravens game last year when, you know, he's double triple covered and his helmet pops off and he still comes down with the ball. Like, I think he started to make people take notice. He has earned the nickname of the Enforcer. We have all certainly seen why. I think that Anthony Richardson will create plenty of opportunities to go around for this offense, but certainly I think A.D. Mitchell is one of those who people are going to be watching to figure out, is he a steal of this draft with the way all those wide receivers, you know, went off the board in 2024?
Exciting is a phrase you said two or three different times during the show. And I think that definitely applies with Richardson coming back, Jonathan Taylor healthy, and so many pieces that you said have not worked together much time, whether it's in the offseason or in regular season action. And Colts, if you haven't at full go here on offense to start the season, that is definitely the definition of exciting here. Lara Overton, thank you so much for coming on, sharing your time and talents. Where can folks find you in terms of all the great content you've put out this offseason so far and yet to come as we get ready for week one?
Appreciate your asking. It's at Lara Overton, L-A-R-R-A O-V-E-R-T-O-N on Twitter, on Instagram, everything. And then we will have a number of our Colts original content series coming out for you to help bridge that gap leading up to training camp. Of course, players will report to Grand Park in Westfield in just a few weeks. There'll be plenty of opportunities for those who are local here in town to get up to training camp. We'll have a couple of joint practices with the Arizona Cardinals as well. But leading up to that, be sure you're following Colts on YouTube, Facebook, Colts.com, everything, because we will be releasing some brand new Colts original content here maybe as soon as this week. So you'll want to be sure you're looking out for all of that.
So love that. Yeah, Colts.com. Those videos, those feature videos are outstanding in terms of getting the look in, and a huge feature piece on Anthony Richardson is one of those beacon ones that you want to check out over the last few weeks here. All right. So that's going to do it for Lara, myself, Chad Parsons. Until next time, never settle, refuse to be average, and keep building those next.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.